Neither did it matter that Mrs. Clausen's own past was, if anything, obscurer than her husband's, and that those who said she was a poor Brazilian widow when Clausen had picked her up on a business trip to Rio were smiled at and corrected by others, presumably better informed, who suggested that divorcée was the word. Even the fact that the Clausen girl was known not to be Clausen's daughter, but to bear a queer exotic name like Santos Dios, was not enough to calm Mrs. St. George. And it was of no use for Mrs. St. George to say to herself that the combination of red hair and sallow complexion would have put off anybody who had heard a description of them, instead of seeing them triumphantly embodied in Conchita Clausen. Mrs. St. George shivered. At that moment, her own daughters, Virginia and Nan, wandered by.
"Virginia, I don't want you should go round any more with that strange girl," Mrs. St. George began.
Virginia's sapphire eyes rested with a remote, indifferent gaze on her mother's mantle.
"I should think you'd roast with that thing on," she remarked. "Ginny, now you listen to what I say," her mother ineffectually called after her.
Nan St. George hardly heeded what was said. Such wrangles between mother and daughter were of daily, almost hourly, occurrence. Nan St. George, at 16, was at the culminating phase of a passionate admiration for her elder sister. Virginia was all that her junior longed to be, perfectly beautiful, completely self-possessed, calm and sure of herself. The only thing she did not quite like about Virginia was the latter's tone of superiority with her mother. To get the better of Mrs. St. George was too easy. At the moment, she was actually wavering in her allegiance to Virginia. Since she had seen Conchita Clausen, she was no longer sure that features and complexion were woman's crowning glory. Long before Mrs. St. George and Mrs. Elmsworth had agreed on a valuation of the newcomer, Nan had fallen under her spell. From the day when she had first seen her come whistling around the corner of the veranda, dragging after her a reluctant poodle, Nan had felt the girl's careless power. And when Mrs. St. George issued the order that her daughters were not to associate with the strange girl, as if they didn't all know her name, Nan felt a rush of anger.
"Why can't I go with Conchita if she wants me to?"
Nan ground her heels into the crack between the veranda boards.
"I think she's lovely."
"Well, when that new governess comes next week, I guess you'll find she feels just the way I do about those people."
A chill of dismay rushed over Nan. She had never really believed that the affair of the governess would go beyond talking. Nan went down the steps of the porch and, crossing the drive, espied the slim Conchita whirling a ball high overhead while the dog spun about frantically at her feet. Nan had so far exchanged only a few shy words with her, and in ordinary circumstances would hardly have dared to join her now. But she had reached an acute crisis in her life, and her need for sympathy overcame her shyness. She went up to Miss Clausen.
"That's a lovely dog," she said.
Miss Clausen turned with a smile to Nan.
"Isn't he a real darling?"
Nan stood twisting one foot about the other.
"Have you ever had a governess?" she asked abruptly.
"My mother and Virginia have cooked it up between them. I'm going to have one next week."
"Land's sake, you're not. She's coming here?"
Nan nodded sulkily.
"I said I'd kill her,"
broke from Nan in a hoarse whisper. The other laughed.
"I wouldn't do that. Not right off, anyhow. I'd get round her first."
"Get round her? How can I?"
"Well, I knew a girl at Rio who had a governess, and she used to, well, carry messages and letters for her, the governess did. I knew a girl who got married that way."
"Do you want to get married?"
she asked abruptly. Nan flushed. Getting married was an inexhaustible theme of confidential talk between her sister and the Elmsworth girls, but she felt herself too young and inexperienced to take part in their discussions.
"Not to anybody I've seen yet."
Nan wandered back to the hotel, her dread of the governess fainter. On the hotel steps, she was further reassured by the glimpse, through the lobby doors, of a tall, broad-shouldered man in a Panama hat. The mere thought of his large, powerful presence, his splendid yellow mustache and easy rolling gait, cleared the air of the cobwebs in which Mrs. St. George was always enveloped.
"Hello,